stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming into the hills, from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but please do not call unless we ask for calls, because for this hour, we're going to have with us Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's a retired neurosurgeon, who spends his time researching medical facts and the medical literature. He writes the Blaylock Wellness Report that circulated across the country, and certainly something I look forward to reading every month when it comes, and you get it by email. It's inexpensive and packed full of the information you need to protect your health and the health of your family. Well, today we're going to be talking about MSG and some of the new findings there with MSG. Russell, thank you so much for being with us again.
Well, thank you, Stan. I appreciate it.
Well, let's get into when we talked off the air, you mentioned there were some very interesting things that were coming out about MSG.
Yeah, there's a lot of new information that the public needs to be aware of. Previously, we thought that MSG's effects were mainly on the brain itself because the brain has a special communication system using a neurotransmitter called glutamate, which is monosodium glutamate includes. And so we thought, well, it's primarily acting through the brain. Well, new studies have indicated that, in fact, there's glutamate receptors spread throughout the entire body, and some of the major organs contain these type of glutamate receptors. For instance, they found the glutamate receptors are present in the adrenal glands, control the release of things like epinephrine, norepinephrine, the cortisols. We find them in all the peripheral nerves. We find them in bone, controls bone growth and bone mineralization, and may play a role in osteoporosis. They're present in bone marrow cells, may be related to different cancers of the bone marrow, like leukemia, lymphoma. We find all these receptors throughout the bronchioles and the lungs. So we know there's a very strong correlation to asthma and asthma attacks, which is now completely agreed upon by everyone. It controls the pancreas, the secretion of insulin, so it's directly connected to diabetes. The entire GI tract has these glutamate receptors, and this is why frequently you see people eat glutamate-containing meals. They'll develop intestinal cramping and diarrhea because it stimulates these receptors, and so that connects it to things like irritable bowel syndrome. It's all through the esophagus, so these esophageal motility disorders like reflux it would be related to. The liver cells all have these glutamate receptors, and so we found a lot of the function of the liver is regulated by these type of glutamate receptors. The heart, virtually every portion of the heart contains glutamate receptors, the conducting system, the heart muscle itself, the coronary arteries are all regulated by these glutamate receptors. Even the vagus nerve, which helps control heart rate, contains these receptors. Skin cells, lung cells, pituitary gland, pineal gland, the ovary, the testes, spleen, all of these things are now found to contain numerous of these type of glutamate receptors that act just exactly like they do in the brain. The difference is there's no protective blood-brain barrier that the defenders of MSG always try to throw up, saying, well, brain's protected.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment as we bring some of our other stations on board, and we lose a couple of stations for a couple of minutes. Our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're talking about MSG, monosodium glutamate, and of course the frequency of the glutamate receptors. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who writes the Blaylock Wellness Report and certainly is one of our favorite guests. And Dr. Blaylock had mentioned to me off the air that there's some exciting new information about MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is found in so many of our foods. It's used as a taste enhancer. But we've known for many years this is not healthy. In fact, many years ago, Dr. Blaylock had written a book entitled Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And, of course, MSG and aspartame, they're both excitotoxins, although MSG has quite a profound impact on the brain, as does aspartame. Well, anyway, Dr. Blaylock was pointing out that for many years, the scientists all felt that the action of MSG was primarily on the brain, because here is where the glutamate receptors were. In other words, if you're going to have glutamate active, there's got to be a glutamate receptor on the cells. But more recently, they found that these glutamate receptors are in literally every organ, from the heart to the skin to the intestinal tract, to the lung. And this is why glutamate many times will stimulate asthma. So you pick the story up there.
Yeah, what we're finding is more and more diseases are, if not caused by, or certainly made worse by exposure to dietary monosodium glutamate and other sources of glutamate, like hydrolyzed protein, various soy concentrates, which are high in glutamate. Let's take the heart, for instance. The studies on the heart are showing that the heart's entire electrical conduction system has a series of nerves that regulate your heartbeat. Well, these nerves contain numerous glutamate receptors, and they find that if you supply glutamate, it can cause abnormal beating of the heart, which we call arrhythmia. Well, if you look at people who have a heart attack, what we call myocardial infarction, the number one cause of death in a person who has a heart attack is arrhythmia. So we know that if you have hypersensitivity of this electrical conduction system, and you have a heart attack and you're consuming a diet with MSG in it, and your blood level of glutamate is very high, that increases the risk that you're going to die from one of these fatal arrhythmias. Well, we also know the heart muscle itself contains a considerable number of these glutamate receptors, and that when you have weakness of the heart due to a heart attack or some other disease...
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan, Dr. Russell is basically talking about the glutamates in the heart. Now, the glutamate, of course, can influence the conduction of the heart, and these are the nerves that make the heart beat regularly. If they are sensitive to glutamate and you're getting MSG, why, of course, you'll get an irregular heartbeat. The glutamate receptors are in the heart muscle. So suddenly we find this product, which is in so many of our meals, ready-prepared meals, and you'll find this in many of the soy products. This is one of the major places we get MSG, and certainly it's added to so many of the things that we get in ready-prepared meals, the frozen meals, because it makes them taste better. But of course, what does it do to the physiology of our body? So you were talking about, of course, the impact on the heart specifically.
Yeah, the heart has the heart muscle has a lot of these glutamate receptors on it, and if the heart is weakened by either heart attack or congestive heart failure, and you're consuming a lot of these dietary glutamate products, it can throw the heart into failure, which we call congestive heart failure. Well, over the last two decades, we've had about a 400 to 600% increase in congestive heart failure that the cardiology profession is unable to explain. Well, we have a progressive increase in the amount of glutamate that's being added to food. The amount now is in rather tremendous proportions. It's in virtually every prepared food that you can find, some a lot more than others. And some of these foods have three or four different forms of these glutamate-containing additives in it. A third way it affects the heart, we know that all the blood vessels that feed the heart muscle also are lined with these glutamate receptors, and that overstimulation of these receptors produce spasms of these coronary arteries and can cause a heart attack by shutting off the blood supply to certain parts of the heart muscle. So you have three different mechanisms: the electrical system of the heart, the heart muscle itself, and the blood supply of the heart. They're all impacted by these dietary glutamate products. Well, there's one situation in which these receptors become very, very hypersensitive, and that is when your magnesium level is low. Magnesium deficiency in this country is extremely common, particularly among young people, but even upon the middle age and older, individuals have very low magnesium levels, and that's because of our diet. We generally don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, which is the number one source of magnesium. We consume a lot of things like carbonated drinks, Coca-Colas, and all these different things that have been shown to deplete magnesium levels rather significantly. Your young athlete is working outdoors in the heat. They sweat out a lot of their magnesium. If they're taking calcium supplements, which some coaches do to these students, these athletes, to try to improve their bone strength. If you do that, you worsen the magnesium deficiency, and you make those receptors so hypersensitive that these athletes will die of a sudden heart failure, either due to the coronary vasospasm or the electrical abnormalities producing arrhythmias. Well, this has all been demonstrated in these young athletes, and we're also seeing it in the older age group as well. Well, we know after consuming a meal high in glutamate, the blood glutamate level can increase as much as 20 to 40-fold. So we're seeing very high levels of glutamate in the blood occurring after these meals containing these processed foods. And with this obsession with soy products, particularly concentrated soy products, we're seeing very high glutamate intakes. Another condition is asthma. We know that the lung bronchioles, all these tubes where the air goes through, is lined with these glutamate receptors, and it's been absolutely proven that glutamate will throw these bronchioles into spasm, producing the asthma, and that if a person has a sensitivity for asthma, glutamate in the diet can produce a very dangerous asthma attack and increased death from asthma. So that is agreed upon by all the experts. Now, let's take reproductive system. We know that the ovaries contain glutamate receptors in the oocyte, that is the cell that is used to reproduce and mate with the sperm. We know that it contains glutamate receptors. We know the other germinal cells inside the ovary contain glutamate receptors. Well, in the male, we know that the sperm-generating cells contain numerous glutamate receptors and regulate the production of sperm, and that if you're consuming a diet high in glutamate, it destroys these cells so that the sperm count continuously falls. And in animals in which they feed glutamate, they find also that the sperm itself contains glutamate receptors that control the motility of the sperm, so that it impairs the ability of the sperm to get to the egg and implant so that you'll have joining of the egg and the sperm. Well, in the male, if you get destruction of these cells, it's irreversible. Well, it's interesting that in the industrialized world, we're seeing a significant drop in
sperm count. Fertility, right.
For instance, in England, there's been a 30% drop in sperm count. Similar things are occurring in the United States with no explanation. Health authorities. Well, we know two things can do that. One is the monosodium glutamate and glutamate products, and the other is fluoride. When you're exposed to both, you get a magnification of this effect. So we have communities that are fluorinated, and they're also consuming high amounts of monosodium glutamate. So that's another situation. Now, we also know that bone cells contain glutamate receptors, and that both the bone-building and the bone-destroying cells are regulated by glutamate receptors, and that when we stimulate these receptors, sometimes you can get overgrowth of bone, and that's bone spurs, or you can get destruction of the bone, as we see in osteoporosis, This has not been completely worked out, so we don't know whether it's a major factor in osteoporosis, but we do know it controls bone growth. We also know these glutamate receptors control our immune system, so that all the immune cells have glutamate receptors. Now, in connection with that, of very importance, is the connection between these glutamate receptors and cancer. There's a new study in which they looked at a number of different types of cancer. And what they found is that there are certain cancers that have a high density of these glutamate receptors on the cancer cell. This includes colon cancers, brain cancers, breast cancers, lung cancers, and a cancer of childhood called neuroblastoma. Even medulloblastoma, which is a childhood highly fatal brain cancer, has these glutamate receptors. And that when you stimulate these receptors, it makes the cancer cell grow a lot faster. It makes the cancer cell invade the surrounding tissue and metastasize all over the animal's body. So we know that stimulating these glutamate receptors in cancer cells makes the cancer much more aggressive, makes curing the cancer much less likely, and that if you block these glutamate receptors, you dramatically improve your likelihood of overcoming one of these cancers, and you reduce the likelihood that that cancer will invade and metastasize throughout the body. They've also found in some experiments that when you combine the glutamate-blocking drugs to the chemotherapy, it makes the chemotherapy infinitely more successful in killing these cancer cells. Now, here we have a country in which most of your processed foods have tremendous amounts of glutamate additives in it for taste enhancement. Now, when I look through the diets in the various cancer centers to see what they're feeding cancer patients, what I found is many, many of the foods contain very high levels of glutamate. So they're giving patients and encouraging patients to eat diets that strongly promote the growth of their cancer and the spread of their cancer and increase the aggressiveness of their cancer.
And, you know, I think one of the biggest problems is, Russell, that, you know, they don't always necessarily say on the label that MSG, they have all sorts of names to actually conceal what's in there, the hydrolyzed protein, taste enhancers. They have all sorts of names. And for those of you who have not yet read Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, let me recommend the book because he lists so many of the names that are used to conceal the fact that they have these taste enhancers, this MSG product in there.
If you look at some of the potato chips, the potato chips that are seasoned or flavored, like the ranch potato chips, they contain MSG is on the label, plus it has about two or three other forms of glutamate added to it. So if you have a cancer patient and they decide, well, they're going to eat some potato chips that are laced with this, they are dramatically reducing the likelihood they'll survive their cancer. They're making their cancer grow much faster. It's like a cancer fertilizer is what I refer to it as. If you look at most of your soups, your commercial soups, when I look at the can, I find that they contain as much as 3 to 4 different types of glutamate products in it. And we know that when you add different types of glutamate products, you get a fully toxic effect.
And Campbell's is really one of the worst offenders there.
Yeah, and they used to put directly on the label MSG. But then when my work came out, they disguised it and changed it to hydrolyzed protein, casein A, whey protein concentrate, etc. Broth, stock, all of these different disguised names, natural flavors. But they still put it in these soups. A lot of the other manufacturers do it as well. So there's a tremendous number of these processed foods that have very high concentrations of the glutamate molecules in it.
And, of course, these are all stimulating cancer growth. Do they actually predispose the patient to cancer as well, do you think, Russell?
Well, it probably does, because we know anything that stimulates growth of cells is also stimulating the likelihood that cell will transform into a cancer.
Hold that
glutamate
thought.
Increases free radical generation.
Hold that thought. go pick the story right up there.
Well, you were asking about MSG. Could it possibly induce cancer as well? Well, one of the things we found out in numerous experiments is that MSG is a powerful stimulator of the production of free radicals, what we call lipid peroxidation products in the body. These damage the DNA and can produce cancers. Well, the studies that have been done recently show that a single dose of MSG in an animal can produce high levels of free radical generation that can last from birth all the way to the adulthood of that mouse. So that's a tremendously long, prolonged area of MSG free radical generation. Well, that leads to numerous diseases, because if you look at diseases now, most of them are some way related to high generation of free radicals. This is true of atherosclerosis, heart attack, strokes, diabetes. All of these things are associated with free radical generation. Well, one of the studies showed that if you fed an animal monosodium glutamate, the lining of the blood vessels produced high levels of free radicals that went on for years, comparable to humans. So if a human is regularly consuming monosodium glutamate and these other type additives of glutamate, they're increasing free radical generation in their arteries. Well, when they looked at some species of rats who have disorders very similar to humans, like hypertension, they found not only that, but it also drove the cholesterol into the wall of the vessel and oxidized it, which is the exact mechanism of the production of atherosclerosis that leads to heart attack and strokes. So you have a product here that we know increases free radical generation in blood vessels, increases the cholesterol incorporation into the blood vessel, and oxidizes it. All of the things that make up the mechanism of atherosclerosis. Well, one of the big contributors of atherosclerosis, heart attack, and stroke is what we call metabolic syndrome. This is a syndrome in which a person develops type 2 diabetes, that is, the non-insulin-dependent diabetes. They develop abnormal blood lipids, that is, the very low-density lipoprotein increases, LDL cholesterol increases, their total cholesterol increases, and they develop what is an epidemic in the United States today. There's 45 million people in this country suffering from metabolic syndrome. Well, we find that the incidence of heart attack and stroke is dramatically increased in people who have metabolic syndrome, and the longer they have it, the more likely they are to have a heart attack and stroke. And we found now that MSG can directly induce this syndrome, that it will produce the type 2 diabetes, the abnormal lipids, the high cholesterol, etc. And the other studies show that not only does it produce the high lipids and the diabetes, but it also drives the cholesterol into the wall of the blood vessel. So we have numerous experiments that are showing feeding MSG to animals produces all of the changes that occur with the induction of atherosclerosis in humans. Yet no one is telling people of this connection. It's hidden in the research literature. And this literature is growing by leaps and bounds.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan, Russell is basically saying that the research data shows that there's a definite relationship between MSG and arteriosclerosis. In fact, what MSG does is tend to attack the blood vessel and drive the cholesterol into the lining of the blood vessel. And certainly there's nothing that predisposes you more to this than the MSG, because it not only acts on the blood vessel, it acts on the other tissues in the body tending to produce the syndrome X and insulin-resistant diabetes. All of these things are direct result, of MSG. This is known in the literature. And yet you have somebody with a heart attack or with arteriosclerosis, and they're never told you shouldn't be eating MSG. The cancer patients are not told what you're doing is actually encouraging the growth of your tumor. So pick the story up there.
Well, and if we look back at atherosclerosis, we know there's certain factors that are associated with atherosclerosis. For instance, bacterial viral infections. One of the common connections is gingivitis, a periodontal disease, that is infection of the gums and the roots of the teeth. And we know that people who have the worst of the gingivitis have about a six-fold increased risk of having a heart attack or stroke. We also know that elevated blood mercury increases your risk of having a heart attack and stroke. There's a very strong correlation there. And that maybe even fluoride can do the same thing. Well, the interesting thing is all of these are producing the atherosclerosis by the very same mechanism that MSG uses. That is the induction of large amounts of free radicals and lipoproxidation products. So when you have gingivitis, for instance, or you're mercury toxic, or you're drinking fluoridated water, and you're consuming a lot of MSG, what you're doing is you're greatly enhancing, magnifying that effect, so that it assures you that you're going to have a very high risk of developing heart attack and stroke. And of course, if you're vitamin deficient, so that you can't protect against the free radicals, you have a hereditary tendency, then your risk is even greater. So we see how all these things tend to work together. Atherosclerosis and heart attack is not caused by one thing. It's caused by a lot of things that all work through the same type of mechanism. And MSG is now identified as one of the powerful mechanisms that indeed can produce the free radicals in the lining of the arteries throughout the body. So that's an important thing. Now, the other connection is obesity. We're hearing a lot about this obesity epidemic. And it is an epidemic. We're seeing not just obesity, but what alarms the experts is that that's mostly what we call morbid or gross obesity. That is a tremendously obese person. Well, when you look at MSG, the early studies that were done in 1968, what they discovered was that if you feed mice monosodium glutamate as infants, even a single dose, that mouse becomes morbidly obese. Well, since that time, they've done literally hundreds of studies on various species of animal, and virtually all of them develop gross obesity. In fact, it's so reproducible that in obesity experiments, that's how they induce the obesity in animals. They give them a dose or two of monosodium glutamate as infants to produce the gross obesity.
And nobody was so criminal about this as they knew that before they ever released this back in 1981. They knew all the disadvantages and all the problems associated with aspartame, and they released it anyway for use on the human beings.
Well, you know, they started the MSG in 1945, the aspartame in 1981, both of which produce the same obesity effect. But now we're seeing a combination of both. So the people that are using these diet drinks and diet foods containing aspartame, and they're eating the MSG-containing foods, they get a tremendous magnification of this toxicity. Now, we even know the mechanism by which it produces the obesity. It's acting on a particular nucleus in the hypothalamus of the brain called the archaic nucleus. This is where leptin operates. You know, some people have heard about leptin, its importance in weight control. Well, leptin has to operate through neurons or nerve cells in this nucleus in the hypothalamus. Well, MSG destroys that nucleus, so this leptin can no longer react the way it's supposed to control your weight.
The leptin is really when the leptin comes on while you feel full, you don't want to eat anymore. So if your leptin comes up, why then, of course, you stop eating.
Right. It's the regulator. So you destroy the cells in the hypothalamus that allow that to operate. Well, another bad thing happens.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's just been talking about how the MSG will actually destroy the cells where the leptin is produced in the hypothalamus, and pick the story up from there.
Well, it's not where the leptin is produced, but where the leptin operates.
All right.
Leptin is produced in the liver and the fat cells inside of the abdomen. But when it travels to the brain, it stimulates these brain receptors. That makes you feel full so that you no longer have a desire for food. Well, the MSG, the most sensitive part in the brain, the MSG, is that area where leptin operates. And so you destroy those cells, suddenly leptin doesn't work. Well, that produces the gross obesity. Well, also it does another thing. If that is, leptin is what we call a cytokine. It produces inflammation in the body. So when you develop very high leptin levels, because those receptors aren't reacting, your body makes more and more leptin, then you start having aches and pains and muscle weakness and feverish feelings, difficulty thinking because of the high leptin levels. Well, we know another thing happens when you're exposed to MSG, and that is you produce a lot of what we call visceral fat. That is the fat tissue that's around your intestines, your internal organs, in your abdomen. This is a special type of fat because it produces an inflammatory chemical called cytokines. They call them adipokines. These cytokines produce inflammation throughout the body. They're associated with insomnia, increased cancer risk, increased cancer growth, hypertension, elevated cholesterol levels, heart attacks, strokes, and numerous brain diseases. They worsen Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. All these diseases are worsened when you have a lot of this visceral fat. Well, this is exactly what happens in experimental animals when you give them that one or two doses of MSG. If those animals accumulate large amounts of this visceral fat, and they start developing all these diseases, including the metabolic syndrome. Well, if you surgically remove that visceral fat from that animal, the metabolic syndrome essentially goes away, except for the diabetes. The type 2 diabetes doesn't completely correct itself, but it gets a lot better. Now, this is exactly what we see in humans. When you look at humans who have metabolic syndrome, they have higher production of these cytokines from their visceral fat cells. People who have insomnia, people who have chronic depression, also have high levels of these same inflammatory cytokines.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And before I go on, I want Russell to get out his website and to tell people how they can get his wellness, the Blaylock Wellness Letter. So how can people get to your website? How can people get the Blaylock Wellness Letter?
Well, they can get to my website by going to www.russellblaylockmd.com. That's RussellBlaylockMD.com. To get to the newsletter, you can either go through my website or you can go directly to www.blaylockreport.com. And that'll take you directly to the publisher of the newsletter.
And I'll just tell you that the report is excellent. You'll really enjoy reading it. Well, go ahead. Well, Dr. Blaylock was talking to about the morbid obesity we're seeing so much of it. And, of course, it's brought on by actually giving people MSG. And then they begin to get this abnormal fat, and the fat begins to produce all sorts of cytokines and all sorts of toxic reactions. And of course, diabetes or type 2 diabetes, insulin-resistant diabetes, all directly related to the obesity and the cytokines and other things that are produced in these abnormal fat cells, which are a direct result of the MSG, and they've known this for years. Pick the story up, please.
All right, let's just take hypertension, for instance. A recent study looked at people who were hypertensive. They found that most of them had high levels of these inflammatory cytokines coming from their visceral fat. Well, when they surgically remove this fat in certain people, for weight loss reasons or otherwise, what they found is about 80% of people with hypertension were suddenly cured of their hypertension. They also noticed that a large percentage of them's their insomnia went away. People with sleep apnea, about 80 to 90% of people with sleep apnea were also cured when this fat was surgically removed. Now, you don't have to undergo surgery to have the fat removed, because what they found out that feeding the animal conjugated linoleic acid, which you see in all the health food stores for weight loss, this conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA, it specifically directs weight loss at this visceral fat. And what they find in the animals, if you feed them MSG and you also give them the CLA oil, the visceral fat will go away and they don't develop hypertension and the abnormal fats and the metabolic syndrome. In humans, we seem to have the same effect, that the CLA oil also targets weight reduction or fat reduction in this visceral fat. One of the interesting things is this is so strongly connected to depression. We look at all of these different causes for depression. Well, the studies have shown that depressed people characteristically have high levels of these inflammatory cytokines in their blood, and that when you lower the cytokines, the depression gets better in most people. And that's because these cytokines have a direct effect on the brain, particularly affecting the neurotransmitters that have to do with mood and feeling good. So here's a connection to a food additive that is causing some major diseases: metabolic syndrome in 45 million people, type 2 diabetes, which is virtually exploding in our young people, even as young as 5, 6, 7 years of age, our abnormal lipids, the high cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, all of that's directly connected to it, the hypertension. So we see that something that is causing major disease in a very large percentage of our population is directly traced back to this mechanism, this MSG mechanism. This is something that is totally being ignored by the media. It's totally ignored by most of your health magazines. People are not getting this message, despite the fact there is considerable amount of scientific research being done and reported all over the world confirming this.
Well, you find it difficult to believe how they could suppress this sort of information. The average doctor, I'm sure, never reads this in his medical journals, does he?
Well, most of this is not found in the clinical medical journals. So if you just confine yourself to reading clinical medical journals, which most doctors do, most of my colleagues, most of the friends I knew in the medical profession, they read maybe one or two journals, and that was it. Now, the most popular is New England Journal of Medicine, but it depends on your specialty. You generally read your specialty journal. Most of these things are not in those journals. You have to go to the basic science journals, of which there's thousands of them. If you go to those journals and you research this carefully, you find out there is considerable evidence and proof of these things. But unfortunately, most practicing physicians either don't take the time to do it, or they're so busy they don't have time to research these things, and they're completely unaware of it.
Well, really, for somebody who's doing their shopping, they have to spend a lot of time reading those labels and understanding how they conceal the fact that there's MSG or aspartame in so many of the food products, anything that we see that's prepared, in our stores, unless you read the label. And even if you read it very carefully, you may not understand that these toxins are there. And they really are toxins.
Well, absolutely. And see what the law says, that unless it's 99% pure MSG, the company's allowed to give it any label they want to. For instance, they can put MSG in it and call it caseinate. Or they can call it hydrolyzed protein or vegetable protein or protein isolate or enzymes or autolyzed yeast. Or they can call it stock, or there's just the names just go on and on and on. and the public has no idea what these names mean. I mean, they'll read autolyzed yeast. Well, they think, well, yeast is all right. They don't know that that is a secret label indicating that that has high glutamate added to it. Those things are added for one purpose only, and that's enhanced taste. And that's because the taste bud also has glutamate receptors on it. And so when you put this in a food, it stimulates those receptors, and it makes the food taste absolutely delicious. That was the original reason for putting glutamate in foods, because in the very beginning, when they had foods in cans, it had what they call a tinny taste. It tastes like tin. This metallic taste ruined the food. And so they found out if they put MSG in it, it would cover up that metallic taste, and then they could sell their foods in cans without any problem. And, of course, that masked the fact that these foods also have toxic metals dissolved in them because you can no longer taste it. Now, when we look at this obesity, it's an interesting German study. They looked at 807,592 conscripts in their military, and they were looking to see not only the incidence of gross obesity, but was there a correlation between who was grossly obese and how tall they were. And what they found is that in most cases, the really grossly obese person was also short. And when you look at the animals, the reason that occurs is because the MSG destroys the hypothalamic nucleus that regulates growth hormone. And so the animals are short and fat. And this is what they saw. Well, they started looking at other countries, and they found the same thing, that most grossly obese people are also short. So they made this connection. And then they did an experiment to see if indeed is that what they find in the experimental situation. And they found the very same thing. Low levels of growth hormone and destruction of this leptin receptor, so that the animal ended up short and very grossly obese. So, you know, in fact, the German researchers even wrote in the journal that MSG should be banned from all foods. They went that far. Because they saw this effect so clearly. Yet in the American situation, they just totally ignore all of this information, despite the fact it's been written up in hundreds of papers. Now, the connection to diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is very strong. And what's discovered recently is that the cells that produce insulin in your pancreas, called the islet cells, they have glutamate receptors, and it seems to be the glutamate receptor that regulates insulin release in relationship to your blood sugar. Now, glutamate is the only amino acid that rises in your pancreas when your blood glucose gets high, and that's because it's the regulator of that receptor. And we know that dietary MSG also stimulates that same receptor and can induce severe states of hypoglycemia. Initially, it burns out the pancreatic cell, and then you become diabetic. So that's the mechanism. Now, they've demonstrated clearly these glutamate receptors on this islet type cell in the pancreas, and they have measured the insulin release when you stimulate it with the glutamate. So we have absolute proof that glutamate is a major mechanism by which this cell is destroyed and produces the diabetes. But again, we don't see anything in the medical literature about this whatsoever. Basically what I'm saying is because these glutamate receptors are found throughout the body, we have to look at almost every disease that you can name to see what is glutamate excess doing to that disorder. For instance, something you never suspect, colon cancer, irritable bowel syndrome. Well, because of the glutamate receptors in that part of the bowel, now we know that indeed it could tremendously worsen irritable bowel syndrome, particularly a form of MSG called carrageenan. And if you look on your food label, you'll see that used more and more. Well, carrageenan is a very powerful inflammatory chemical, and it is associated with a powerful stimulation of cancer growth. So So if a person has colon cancer or a high risk of developing colon cancer, and they're consuming this processed food with a lot of carrageenan in it, they make their cancer grow a lot faster, and therefore they're more likely to die from their colon cancer than if it wasn't in the food. And nobody is telling them about this, and most oncologists are completely unaware of this. They don't even know this is a factor. And I've spoken to several oncologists, so I know that they don't know. In the case of breast cancer, well, we know that there's glutamate receptors in the ductal tissue of the breast, and that it stimulates the growth of breast cancers. Well, how many people are telling women you should not be consuming all of this soy food because it stimulates the growth of breast cancer? Well, studies have been done that indeed shows soy greatly stimulates the growth, invasion, and spread of breast cancer. Yet people are telling women that, oh, this is the way to prevent breast cancer, so they're consuming huge amounts of it in this false belief that it's going to protect them, when actually it's just the opposite. There's another surprising connection that most people probably have never heard of, and that's a connection to multiple sclerosis. Well, it's now in controvertible proof that multiple sclerosis, there is an excitotoxic damage of the cell that makes the covering of nerves, the fatty covering, called myelin. And that's the cause of multiple sclerosis. In different places, that fatty protective coating is destroyed. Well, there's a certain cell that makes that fatty coating called an oligodendrocyte. Well, it has numerous glutamate receptors on it, and it is easily destroyed by excess glutamate. Once they develop MS, if they consume the glutamate in their diet or aspartame, it goes directly to that area of the damaged oligodendrocyte and greatly worsens the symptoms. It seeps out into that part of the brain, aggravating the loss of these essential cells and making the disease progress much faster. Well, it's now accepted that multiple sclerosis is an excitotoxic disease. Glutamate, aspartame, aspartic acid are called excitotoxins, and that's because they trigger that very reaction that we see with multiple sclerosis. Well, we see no one, not a soul, telling multiple sclerosis patients, you must avoid all of these foodborne excitotoxins. And we know from a single dose of excitotoxins, it can worsen MS for weeks afterwards. Their symptoms will be greatly magnified. And repeated doses not only will magnify the symptoms, will make the disease progress faster, increasing the likelihood that they're going to become paralyzed or have neurological effects inside the brain itself, such as severe depression and difficulty thinking. These things are all proven and known, yet again, no one is telling these people you need to be very careful with your diet. And I know a number of cases in which people quit eating all processed food, ate mostly fruits and vegetables, took antioxidant vitamins, and these MS patients went from a point where they could barely get out of bed to running regularly, jogging, and doing regular exercise and feeling great. The same thing holds for autoimmune diseases. For instance, with lupus. We know that lupus is also an inflammatory disorder, and that MSG and aspartame makes that disease infinitely worse, and that the effects on the brain of lupus are caused by excitotoxicity. So it doesn't make sense that a person with lupus is consuming foods that contain large amounts of excitotoxin food additives. Yet no one's telling them they shouldn't do that. Instead, they pump them full of drugs and immune suppressants, which makes them sicker. Now, in most lupus patients, if they take omega-3 fatty acids, that's high in the EPA component, and they take magnesium in increased concentrations, and get the MSG and aspartame out of their diet, most of them get dramatically better. Not just a little bit better, but dramatically better. I have a cousin that has lupus, She was virtually crippled with it until she changed to this diet. Now she's perfectly normal, working every day and feeling great. I've reproduced this in a number of people just by telling them to do these few simple things. Increase your omega-3 intake, take the magnesium and avoid the MSG and other foodborne excitotoxins.
And, of course, what you're really talking is getting them onto a vegetarian diet, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Well, not a pure vegetarian diet, but if you're on a vegetarian diet mostly and eating mainly white meat, not the red meat, they do fine. You know, that is the secret, the high vegetable intake, 5 to 10 servings a day of the nutrient-dense type of vegetable. These people get a lot better.
All right, well, our guest has been Dr. Russell Blaylock. His website is, give the website one more time.
www.russellblaylockmd.com.
RussellBlaylockMD.com. We'll be right back to wrap up today's program. We only got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Russell, this is really fascinating.
Well, it's very interesting, and it's very disconcerting at the same time. When we look at what we know about these glutamate receptors, and we see the effects on the brain, we see the effects on numerous organs, we find out that this isn't some minor reaction, as the general public is told, and as many doctors say, they think this is, oh, this is just some crazy Chinese restaurant syndrome. It's not. Modern studies are showing this is a profound effect. It has profound effects on human disease and human health. It's way beyond what was called the Chinese restaurant syndrome. That is just a minor effect compared to what we're seeing. There's considerable effects on the heart, on the GI tract, on the reproductive system, on the brain, on insomnia, on metabolic syndrome. We're seeing strong connections to all of these things, and even atherosclerosis, heart attack and stroke rate, and death, sudden cardiac death. We're seeing very strong connections. And as I said, the MSG magnifies toxicity of things like mercury and fluoride and bacterial infections. All these things are made infinitely worse in the presence of high levels of these dietary excitotoxins. And people need to know it. No one's telling them. No one's telling the cancer patient. No one's telling the lupus patient or the MS patient. And, you know, I hope people will spread the word and tell them, you need to become aware of this because the science behind it is very, very strong.
Well, that's why I do what I do, and I know that's why you do what you do. And I really appreciate your coming on and getting the information out. And, of course, Dr. Blaylock has written a book called Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills. But there's so much that's come out since that time, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But most of the book is still pertinent. You know, it was written in 1995, but the vast majority of what's in that book has been strengthened by modern research.
And, of course, when you stop and realize that the relationship to the degenerative diseases and certainly to the hypertension and specifically to the cancers and how these cancers get so much worse if you're eating the MSG. And if you get off the MSG and change your diet, sometimes, of course, the cancers will just quit growing. Have people actually been able to reverse the process?
Oh, absolutely. And as I said, the studies are showing that it greatly improves the effectiveness of the traditional chemotherapy and radiation treatment. If you stop using it and block that glutamate receptor, you get a much greater result.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much.
God bless you, and thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope many of you will want to get copies of these programs we have. We have put them into 4 tape sets, or you can get the individual tapes, or you can get the individual CDs. You need to understand what our specialists tell us, because this is what the literature is saying. And, you know, doctors do the best they can, but quite frankly, they're so busy and they're looking over their shoulder all the time, and they can go to prison if they put down the wrong code on some sort of a government form, and believe me, the government's watching everything they do. The doctors don't have time to read the things that Dr. Blaylock does. You need to understand about excitotoxins, about MSG, and about aspartame. We carry Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and although it was written in 1995, almost everything in that book is right up to date. And then, of course, you need to get that, and perhaps with a CD or a tape of this program. You need to get his book, The Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life, because he gives all the names that they use to disguise the MSG that is being put in to actually create all of these problems, and they know it produces pathological obesity. And when was the last time you watched your news and they talked about pathological obesity and they show all these fat people? But when was the last time they mentioned that this is intentionally being produced by the use of MSG and of aspartame? And then, of course, we have another book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. That's Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We do have one four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock. It's called Life-Saving Secrets. That's Life-Saving Secrets. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And Radio Liberty has a great deal on health. We carry, of course, the book, The Miracle of Magnesium. We actually carry a lot of the health products, the magnesium and selenium that you should be taking. Most Americans are deficient in iodine because they specifically stopped putting it in bread and in flour, and they took it out of about half of the salt, and unless you read the label on your salt, you're not going to realize they've taken the salt out, and most Americans are deficient in iodine, and we'll have a four-tape set on that very, very soon, within a week. If you want to order that, you can. But, of course, we are carrying iodorol, which is an iodine compound that gives you about 12.5 milligrams of iodine a day, which is what the Japanese consume on a regular basis. We carry the potassium iodine tablets that you should have on hand anyway in case there's a nuclear attack, and they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. The product is iodorol, and I think they're 12.5 milligram tablets, which are about half iodine and half iodide, which is the iodized solution of iodine. And this was devised by a professor of OBGYN when he retired. And he felt there's a definite relationship between so many of the diseases he saw in his female patients and the deficiency of iodine, which is so prevalent because somebody, for some reason, took the iodine out of our diet dramatically and substituted fluoride. And, of course, you know about fluoride and all of its complications. And the fluoride competes with the iodine in the tissues of our body and specifically in the thyroid gland. Why would you do something that stupid unintentionally? If you haven't read our material on fluoride and water fluoridation that's being used to poison our people, why you need to get my talk on the hidden agenda and the syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, some of the DVDs that we have, excellent DVDs and four tape sets on water fluoridation. You're going to have to learn how to look after your own health. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And remember, and again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.